Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Tonight from Florida, a special edition of World News Tonight. The deadly aftermath, Hurricane Ian, and its devastating path across this state.
The terrifying images now emerging from inside the storm as Ian made landfall. Winds up to 150 miles per hour, ripping apart homes, tearing them to pieces in seconds. The catastrophic storm surge setting records here, wiping out homes and entire towns. Homes carried away by the rushing waters. And now the scope of the devastation coming into focus. Communities underwater, house fires spotted from the air, sections of the Sanibel Causeway washed away, debris filling the streets in every direction in Fort Myers. Tonight, there are water rescues underway across the state as we come on the air. Crews pulling people from floodwaters, on the ground and from choppers overhead. A nursing home evacuated in Orlando. First responders with children in their arms, carrying them to safety. Tonight, President Biden warning of what could be a horrific death toll here. We have just learned the storm is now a hurricane again, regaining strength for its run up the East Coast. Tonight, nearly 2 million customers here in Florida are without power. And tonight, we're with the families, those who sought shelter and who are still unable to get back to their homes, some who lost everything in the blink of an eye. Georgia and the Carolinas bracing in the coming hours. Now the storm surge threatening Charleston. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z, Senior Meteorologist Rob Marciano, both here in Florida with me tonight, and our team spread out across the storm zone. The other major news this Thursday night, the stunning turn in the war in Ukraine. Just days after those alarming images showing pro-Russian soldiers armed with assault rifles going door to door to collect ballots in referendums in eastern Ukraine, tonight, Vladimir Putin is now on the eve of a major speech. He's now expected to formally annex four of those occupied territories in Ukraine, planning to take them for Russia. The U.S. is responding tonight. Ian Panel inside Ukraine. In Washington, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas testifying before the January 6th committee in person. Ginny Thomas questioned about her efforts to help former President Trump overturn the 2020 election. And there is news tonight about Queen Elizabeth. Her cause of death now made public.
From ABC News, this is a special edition of World News Tonight with David Muir, reporting tonight from Southwest Florida.
And good evening from Florida tonight, where we have witnessed the extraordinary scale of destruction here from Hurricane Ian. The scope of the damage from this deadly hurricane has become painfully clear tonight. We have just learned this evening that Ian is now a hurricane again, growing stronger, winding up for another devastating blow as it now moves north and right up the East Coast. Here in Southwest Florida tonight, Ian struck as a Category 4 hurricane, just shy of a Category 5 24 hours ago. And this evening, we have now learned the storm surge was record-breaking and deadly. The flooding not just on the coast, but of course inland too. Tonight, there are urgent rescues underway, and the death toll is climbing. President Biden has warned that there could be a, quote, substantial loss of life right here in Florida. At this hour, Ian is now a hurricane again, a Category 1, 75 miles an hour are the winds, now moving back into the warm Atlantic waters, forecast to crash back ashore in South Carolina sometime tomorrow. And we have new images tonight of Ian's fury, the eye wall plowing through Placida, Florida, ripping homes to shreds there, the storm surge overpowering this building in Fort Myers Beach, lifting it right off its foundation, washing it away. And tonight, of course, the damage the storm left behind. This Fort Myers Beach community left in splinters, the ground littered with debris, along the shore a pile of boats unmoored. And far from the coastline tonight, neighborhoods flooded for miles, one home on fire with no way to fight the flames. And the major damage to infrastructure across the region. The Sanibel Causeway severely damaged tonight and unusable. Nearly 2 million people still without power in this state tonight. And on the northeast coast of Florida, Ian arriving as a tropical storm in St. Augustine at peak high tide. Orlando getting record rain and flooding, rescues taking place there. And the efforts to rescue families remain underway statewide. In Naples, a car window smashed to free the driver inside. In Tampa, boats ferrying people to safety from their flooded homes. And in Orlando, more than 100 residents rescued from a nursing home where sandbags failed to keep the water out. Our team across the storm zone tonight. In fact, the Coast Guard, a Rear Admiral with the Coast Guard, Brendan McPherson, is right here with us tonight on the rescues taking place at this hour. What they're seeing, the conditions inside these homes, what's left of them. But first, what we've seen, the destruction across this state.
Tonight, the deadly toll of Hurricane Ian, the massive destruction here in Florida, coming into clearer focus. The deadly storm making history as one of the most powerful hurricanes ever to make landfall here in Southwest Florida. And along with the hurricane, the staggering amount of rain, a once in a thousand year rainfall, they're calling it here, bridges destroyed, homes on fire, entire neighborhoods underwater in Fort Myers. The Lee County Sheriff surveying the devastation, capturing these images tonight. The shorelines decimated, plumes of thick black smoke in this neighborhood. The Sanibel Causeway washed away, cutting the island off to the mainland. From the ground, Fort Myers Beach leveled, the pier gone. The catastrophic damage, power lines catching fire, nearly 2 million still without electricity tonight. 20,000 Florida Power and Light crews racing to restore power here across this state. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
The impacts of this storm are historic, and the damage that was done has been historic.
President Biden in touch with Governor DeSantis again today. The president speaking of the enormous human toll here and the real fear that that toll could rise dramatically. The president at FEMA headquarters today.
This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history. The numbers are still unclear, but we're hearing early reports of what may be substantial loss of life.
Tonight, at least 7 confirmed deaths. Hospitals evacuated amid the floods. Search and rescue teams fanning out.
Hold on.
The Nassau County Marine Unit rescuing 2 people on their sailboat overnight, grabbing them and pulling them to safety. Naples Fire and Rescue smashing windows to get to this driver, while other members of the fire department wade through waist-deep water as they unload their fire truck submerged in the waters here. They have been rescuing families, bringing them back to the fire station. Dozens of large Chinook and Black Hawk helicopters performing rescues. And these images tonight of the U.S. Coast Guard airlifting stranded people from rooftops near Sanibel Island. 1,000 FEMA personnel deployed here, supplying millions of liters of water and meals, and hundreds of generators. Charlotte and Lee counties reporting more than 500 rescues, more than 300 rescued in Orlando. In this neighborhood, local police teaming up with the National Guard. Orange County Fire Rescue racing in with stretchers to rescue seniors at the Avante Assisted Living Facility. Hurricane Ian making landfall as a strong Category 4 hurricane, just shy of a Category 5, the record-breaking storm surge. Ripping roofs off homes, sending debris flying. This time-lapse of Fort Myers Beach showing floodwaters taking over the streets. Boats floating away.
There's like 3 boats. There's 4 boats.
4 of them.
4 boats.
We don't know whose cars most of these are.
The family riding out the storm in their grandmother's home, watching
up
from the windows as cars and
down
homes float by.
This is a house from across the street at the beach.
Walking outside, the palm trees bending in the wind.
Somebody's RV came in our backyard. That's our pool. That's our deck. That was my house. My house is gone.
On the ground here, we met Josefa Arsana Munoz, who left home to ride out the storm with family, only to find her home badly damaged today. She said it was terrifying. They could feel the hurricane blowing inside the house.
You don't want to go through that again.
Because no water, no food. My friend called me. We could have this stuff. Yeah.
And terribly frightening. But at least you're okay and the family's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're glad.
And the Logue family, Sam, his 7-year-old son Mason, staying with their pastor,
because the pastor's home is built of brick. They couldn't get back to their home today because of the floods. Yeah. Any word on your house?
Yeah, we had all the barns. We had two or three barns there. They all flew away.
In Tampa, powerful wind gusts sending this tree crashing into a home. In St. Augustine, this SUV submerged, the boat behind it rocking in the waves. And that father tonight grateful they left their home to seek safer shelter, now knowing what so many now face. I'm sure you're feeling pretty blessed you were here.
For sure. Yep. Yep, God kept us safe. I know a lot of people weren't so fortunate.
That decision to stay with their pastor instead made all the difference. Tonight, the Coast Guard conducting search and rescue operations while we're on the air. They have been working since the very early morning hours. I spoke with Rear Admiral Brendan McPherson just before we came on the air tonight. Admiral McPherson, thanks so much for joining us here tonight. Just incredible work by the Coast Guard and really all of the agencies performing these rescues here in Florida. How many rescues have you performed? What are you still facing tonight?
Yeah. These are very difficult circumstances for everybody. Our hearts go out to everybody that was impacted by this. Our air crews were up in the air very early this morning, within hours when the I made landfall. And we were able to do 62 successful rescues today. Some of those were coastal along the waterfront, which we're accustomed doing all the time. And many of those were also inland, what we call urban search and rescue cases.
62 rescues, just an extraordinary number. Can you describe what your teams are facing, the conditions, the flooding, the destruction, what they're seeing as they rescue these families?
Yeah, these are very challenging circumstances for our rescuers, very dangerous circumstances. They're dealing with high water, cities that don't look like cities anymore, unstable platforms and buildings, and also hazards to our aviators and our pilots who are flying through these areas with down power lines and poles and cranes and those sort of things. So they have to go through it very carefully and to be safe and do it that way. But they are well-trained. They are highly equipped for this job. And we're not doing it alone. It's a unity of effort amongst all of our federal, state, and local partners, including the FEMA urban search and rescue teams.
We're thinking about those pilots and those crews. And when it comes to the families and the people that they're rescuing, a lot of these situations, these are people who were in their homes as the waters were rising and have been waiting for help since Ian made landfall?
Yeah, they are, David. Many people did heed orders to evacuate, and that's good. But others, for whatever reason, either couldn't get out or didn't get out. Now's not a time for judgment. Now's the time about saving lives. So we're going to continue to search, pull people out of there. Some of them coming off of rooftops, some of them coming right out of the water. But we're going to continue pushing our crews doing this mission for as long as it's necessary.
Well, you are saving lives and you're doing it with extraordinary care. Best of luck to you and all of the teams in the air tonight. Admiral McPherson, thank you.
Thank you, David. And let's keep everybody who's impacted by this in our thoughts and our hearts.
We will absolutely do just that. The brave work of the Coast Guard tonight and so many other agencies responding. One of the areas where there is a massive rescue effort is Fort Myers. That's still underway at this hour. And in Sanibel Island, where parts of that causeway we showed you was destroyed. ABC's Victor Akendo tonight with the woman and her mother and the family dog. The water's rising so fast in their home, they went to the top of their car, standing on top as that car began to wobble in the water until help arrived. Here's Victor tonight.
Tonight, Sanibel Island cut off from the rest of Florida after being hit with what the governor calls a biblical storm surge.
We're standing on what was the causeway into Sanibel. That bridge was the only way in or out, and you can see a huge chunk of it collapsed, got washed away during the storm. Now the only way to get to people who are still on the island, boat or helicopter.
Those rescues now underway on the island, as they are throughout the state. We set out with one group of volunteers.
This neighborhood in Fort Myers is completely flooded. I'm on a boat right now with the Cajun Navy. They got word that three people were trapped inside one of these homes, so we're going to take a look.
Cajun Navy's here for you!
Eva Neocleus was stranded for more than 24 hours.
Here, give me your hand if you...
There we go. Nice and easy.
You're on.
Following her out, her dog Creamy, and then her mother Aurora. They were hunkered down together.
So the three of you rode out the storm together?
Holding onto the dog on top of the car.
They were standing on top of that car for 3 hours.
3 hours watching the water rise. What was that like?
Scared to death. Scared to death. I thought I was gonna die right there. And the car was like wiggling while we're both holding on.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Holding the dog in the middle.
Eventually, they were able to make it back inside, where they waited for rescue. And finally, back on dry land.
Oh my God, I know
it! Oh my God!
Aurora's son, Michael, waiting for them with a big hug.
And I asked Michael what it was like seeing his family after everything they'd just been through. His mom jumped in and said, well, he told me he loved me and he never does that. David, tonight this family is reunited.
Of course, that not a surprise, these reunions all over Florida, and they're just so important. Victor, our thanks to you. We want to turn right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z back with us tonight here in the storm zone, tracking it yet again. And Ginger, you and the team telling us that Ian became a hurricane again just before we began the news here tonight. And of course, this danger is not over. So where is Ian now? Where does this hurricane go next?
That's the thing, David. When you see boats onto trees and homes like this with boats into them, crime tape just being put up, you can't imagine that we still have Hurricane Ian, or it's back again. So let's go ahead and take you through the maps, because the hurricane warning now extends for the entire coast of South Carolina. You also have a look from Wilmington up to the Outer Banks with tropical storm warnings. That hurricane watch still up for Jacksonville, by the way, to Charleston. And you can see there in Savannah, excuse me, the timing. 9 a.m. tomorrow is where we begin. That's when it's approaching. The heavy rain has started. The wind's gusting to 50, even 70 miles per hour as it makes landfall. Looks like somewhere between Charleston and Myrtle Beach, maybe around North Charleston. That front right side has the most surge, but everybody going to get those whipping winds all the way up to Elizabeth City, say, where you could see 2 to 4 feet, David. And again, 3 to 5 right there in South Carolina.
Ginger, this is extraordinary work from you during this entire hurricane. Thank you. And as you heard Ginger say there, there's a real risk of devastating storm surge yet again as Hurricane Ian makes landfall once again near Charleston or points just north of there. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tonight on why the storm surge right here in Southwest Florida was record-breaking and devastating in its scope.
Tonight, Ian's devastation and relentless storm surge laid bare. A storm chaser's camera capturing the Gulf of Mexico pushing ashore Wednesday in Fort Myers Beach. Watch as it simply carries this house away. Anyone surviving scenes like this is lucky to be alive. Ian's surge is still a force to be reckoned with as it moves north.
This is Port Charlotte and a new condo construction site damaged by the wind. We're 20 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, but that deep low pressure of Ian and those big winds lifted this water and pushed it farther up the bay by miles, engulfing anything in its path.
The catastrophic damage now coming to light, early estimates in the billions. Our Ginger Z in Fort Myers.
In this neighborhood alone, there are hundreds of homes. You can see from our drone there that each of these took on at least 12 feet of water. They are all total losses.
The scale of the damage due in part to the massive population explosion along Florida's west coast. This graphic shows the Fort Myers area alone growing by more than 600% since 1970. And this shows that forecasted storm surge that inundated that same population.
A record surge of over 6 feet in Naples, over 7 feet in Fort Myers. You could double those numbers in some of the nooks and crannies up the bay. And obviously the wind enough to take down that crane. The wind and the surge now heading towards the Carolinas. David?
And the population shift in Southwest Florida, so telling there, Rob. Thank you for sharing, and thanks to you and your crew during this hurricane. Our thanks to Rob, Ginger, Victor, the entire team here in the storm zone, and we'll have more here in just a moment. But we do turn to the other major news this Thursday night and a stunning turn in the war in Ukraine. Vladimir Putin, now on the eve of a major speech, expected to formally annex 4 occupied areas of Ukraine. And what paved the way? Those referendums the U.S. calls a sham. Those alarming images, pro-Russian soldiers armed with assault rifles, going door to door to collect ballots in eastern Ukraine. Here's our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Panel, in Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, just days after we saw Russian forces with assault rifles going door to door, ordering people to vote in Russian-occupied Ukraine, Vladimir Putin poised to take those results and illegally declare those areas parts of Russia. A formal signing ceremony takes place behind the walls of the Kremlin tomorrow. The annexation is stoking fears of a further escalation. Russia warning an attack on the occupied areas would be an attack on Russia.
The United States will never, never, never recognize Russia's claims on Ukraine's sovereign territory.
Just days after launching a counteroffensive to push Russia back, President Zelensky telling David he won't give up any of the territory occupied by the Russians.
you will cede no Ukrainian territory. That is not on the table.
Nope, we will not.
The challenge tonight, how will Ukraine and its Western allies respond?
David, this does seem to be a point of no return for Vladimir Putin. It's hard to see any kind of peace process that can be revived after this. As you heard yourself, the Ukrainians are adamant that they can win and reclaim 100% of their land. David?
Ian, panel tonight, our thanks to you again. When we come back here, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas testifying in person today before the January 6th committee, and Queen Elizabeth's cause of death made public tonight in a moment.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has appeared before the January 6th committee, Ginny Thomas answering questions in person behind closed doors for 4 hours today. In the days after the 2020 election, she urged the Trump White House to fight back and emailed state lawmakers asking them to help overturn the election results. Tonight, Queen Elizabeth's cause of death has been made public. Her death certificate says at 96 years old, she died peacefully of, quote, old age. Her time of death, 3:10 p.m. local time on September 8th. Her occupation, Her Majesty the Queen. The death certificate signed by her daughter, Princess Anne. Before we go tonight, the moving images here in Florida today. Frankie and Kendrick Romulus outside their apartment in Fort Myers, thankful to be alive. This shelter in Tampa, Irwin Technical College for the family pets, keeping them safe until their owners can return. And in Punta Gorda, Tom Park cleaning up his home, the American flag waving. I'm David Muir in Florida. Good night.